A book out today profiles what is considered the most important environmental lawsuit in the world, one that ultimately failed because of the man behind it. Stephen Donziger tried to win compensation for Ecuadorian tribes whose rainforest was polluted by Texaco oil drilling. But as our next guest writes, Donziger lost sight of the endgame. Paul Barrett is a senior writer for Bloomberg Business Week. His new book is called Law of the Jungle, the $19 billion legal battle over oil in the rainforest and the lawyer who'd stop at nothing to win it. Paul Barrett's with us from New York. Welcome back.
Great to be here, Jeremy.
Well, let's go back to the beginning and just tell us what exactly Texaco did in Ecuador.
Right. This story started in the 1960s when Ecuador invited outside investors to exploit the natural resources in the rainforest east of the Andes. And Texaco answered that call, produced oil there in the 70s and 80s. Ecuador's economy moved into the 20th century. But sadly, as a side effect, the rainforest was terribly despoiled. Poor people who were living near the oil operations found themselves more or less up to their ankles in oil, streams contaminated, and the legal war that then broke out stems from that pollution.
And the man at the center of it is a guy named Stephen Donziger. Tell us who he is.
Exactly. Stephen Donziger is a Harvard Law School graduate, a former reporter, and a couple of years out of Harvard Law School, he crossed paths with this case. And this was the mission that he was looking for. And for the next 20 years, he fought a lawsuit first in the United States, and then later it was dismissed in the United States and moved to Ecuador. And in 2011, he won an historic verdict, a record $19 billion judgment. That's billion with a B, against Chevron, which had in the interim acquired Texaco. He was a hero in environmentalist circles, and then it all began to fall apart.
And why is that? He really did go too far. It seems as plain as that from reading your book.
Yeah, Chevron said all along that it had really two basic defenses. One, it said that it wasn't responsible for the remaining pollution in Ecuador, that the national oil company there, Petroecuador, was responsible for whatever contamination remained on the ground. But second, Chevron said, whoever is responsible for that contamination, Donziger had evolved from a lawyer into basically a racketeer, a shakedown artist. And Chevron was so certain of this that while it was fighting the case in Ecuador, it filed suit against Donziger here in New York. And in doing that, it invoked the federal racketeering law in the United States. And in a trial in late 2013, put on evidence that Donziger had coerced witnesses, that he had submitted fabricated evidence, that he had paid bribes, really all the earmarks of what you might expect from an organized crime organization. And at the end of that trial, a federal judge said, yes, indeed, Chevron had proved its case and that Donziger was really no longer acting as a lawyer, but instead basically as a crime boss. And now you've got the judgment in Ecuador colliding directly with this recent finding in the United States. And the sad part of it is that after 21 years of litigation, all of this fighting in the courts has not cleaned up one barrel of rogue oil, has not cleaned one contaminated stream or built a single medical clinic. And it seems that Donziger's efforts have really undermined the cause that he purported to represent.
But a lot of people are going to hear that and think, here's a guy who finally takes on this huge oil company, wins, and then they go and find a technicality to take him down.
Yeah. Fraud, bribery, coercion, blackmail, those are not technicalities. We're talking here about a guy who had his paid American experts secretly ghostwrite what was supposed to be a neutral court official's report on the extent of the damages. After having them secretly ghostwrite it, he had them write objections to the ghostwritten report that they themselves had written. And then they had these same paid experts secretly wrote the responses to their own objections so they could bid the damage measure up into the billions and billions of dollars. That kind of behavior is not a technicality. And what you have here is someone who invoked the rule of law to hold a big corporation accountable, but then undermined the rule of law. And that really is damaging to everyone who seeks to use the courtroom to vindicate the rights of poor people, of the little guy.
Although Donziger still defends himself, he says he's proud of the way that he acted. What is he up to now and what is he saying?
He is appealing that RICO verdict. But even Danziger, for example, under pressure, eventually admitted that his people ghost wrote that key damages report. He was caught, for example, on field tapes that eventually came into Chevron's hand, field tapes for a documentary film, in which he just said, you know, the courts in Ecuador are corrupt. You just have to fight dirty. And that, unfortunately, is not the way a lawyer can behave. Maybe an activist in the streets can do that. Maybe a revolutionary who's trying to overthrow a government by force. But that's not the way lawyers in suits and ties operate.
Paul Barrett, why did you want to tell this story? We know you very well for your other book, Glock, which is all about the gun industry. What did you want to say here about big oil?
I'm interested in stories that remind us how our preconceptions are often inaccurate, how the facts don't always line up with ideology. When I heard about this story, like many, many other people, you hear about indigenous tribe members in the rainforest, a multinational oil company whose predecessor indisputably behaved badly. You hear about a poor country that claims it's been victimized. Well, you see it as a simple morality tale, David versus Goliath. The crusading lawyer is going to vindicate the oppressed. And that's a very appealing parable that a lot of people are drawn to, particularly when it takes place in the rainforest, the romantic Garden of Eden-like rainforest. But the problem is when you get down there on the ground and you talk to people and you look at what really happened, you look through the court records, you see that reality, as always, is more complicated. You see, for example, that the Ecuadorian government fully shared in the proceeds from all of this oil activity. So it's not as if they were a passive victim. You see that the Ecuadorian government, for example, encouraged people to move from other parts of the country to live right close to the oil operations such that they were in a position to be terribly harmed. And in the case of Danziger, of course, you see someone who portrayed himself as a Thurgood Marshall type, legal crusader who, it turns out, really was cutting corners and in a way that went way beyond the details, way beyond the technicalities, that really went to the core of whether he could prove his case. And I wanted to flesh this out to tell the full story because I think a lot of people, particularly Americans, think that the courts are an institution where justice can be achieved, where less powerful entities can face off against big corporations or government agencies. And I think that's a very admirable model, but it has to be done within the rules. And if people violate the rules, you're going to undercut the credibility of the idea of crusading for justice in the courts.
And if I were to go down to Ecuador now and see this rainforest that is the center of all of this, is it still polluted? Has anyone really been helped there?
Yes, it is still polluted. What you would find is a scene, an extraordinary scene. I was shocked when I first saw it myself. The pristine jungle with this industrial zone carved out of it. And for the last 20 years, since the American oil companies were basically shown the door, it's Petroecuador, the national oil company in Ecuador, which has become every bit as bad a polluter as Texaco ever was. And now the outside contractors, the outside entities there now, the Chinese. And you can draw from that, I think, the very likely inference that environmental standards have not gotten better, but actually have gotten worse.
Paul Barrett, his new book is called Law of the Jungle, the $19 billion legal battle over oil in the rainforest and the lawyer who'd stop at nothing to win it. It is out today. We've got an excerpt at our website, hereandnow.org. Paul Barrett, thank you so much as always.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Here and Now.